Creator God, from the beginning of time, you have sent prophets and messengers to share with us your word. And we are grateful this evening as Sherry stands before us. Soften our wills, O God, and may we hear tonight that word of hope or receive that new insight, perhaps that call to action that you would have for us. May we listen now, expectant and hopeful. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Glenn. Well, I like what Lindsay said in her sermon last week when she summarized the Beatitudes as the sermon that contained the most powerful message of the gospel in the fewest amount of words. And I feel like I always have to apologize because I'm going to use a lot more words than Jesus used to give that fantastic sermon. Well, we've already explored the first two blessings. The first was, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God." And this was a declaration of dependence upon God and a declaration of independence upon anything that serves as a measure of my worth or your worth other than the grace and love of God through Jesus Christ. And then last week, Lindsay preached on, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And this was a reminder to us of our calling to be comforters, as well as the promise that in Christ, we have a Savior who is acquainted with all of our griefs and sorrows and who has promised to be with us in ours and who will one day redeem this whole world of suffering and sadness, and we will be in a place where there are no more tears and there is no more suffering. Thanks be to God. Well, today we're focusing on a third beatitude, and that one is, "Blessed are the merciful." Blessed are those who show mercy, for they shall receive mercy. So I looked up in Webster's what the definition of mercy was. And mercy is defined as compassion that withholds punishing even when justice demands it, such as he threw himself on the mercy of the court. And then it is also kindness or forgiveness shown especially to anyone a person has power over, like when a judge shows mercy and imposes the shortest sentence she can. Being merciful is having a disposition to be compassionate or forgiving of others. A mercy is something to be thankful for, like it was a mercy no one was hurt in the accident. It is the easing of distress or pain, such as a mission of mercy. Well, I believe the Old Testament view of mercy really combines all of those definitions. Mercy in the Hebrew Scriptures has everything to do with God's covenant promise to the people of Israel. God bound himself to the people so that they could always appeal to God for mercy, God's grace-filled, compassionate help and forgiveness. God's promised mercy was not a right for the people to claim, but it was a promise that they could trust God to keep. The mercy seat, that expression I think you're familiar with, the mercy seat that rested on the Ark of the Covenant, represented the very presence of the living God to them. And only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies, which was where that mercy seat was kept, and only he could enter during the season, the holy season of Yom Kippur, which was their season of penitence and is their season of penitence and atonement. Now, in our Christian faith, we believe that God's greatest act of mercy was accomplished by sending Jesus Christ into this world to be the one who would take upon the whole sin of the world. And he carried that sin with him to the cross. He himself is our mercy seat. And we have full access to Jesus and to his grace at any time. I loved how Eugene Peterson summarized this concept in his translation of the Message from Hebrews chapter 4. He said this, "Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing. He's experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to his throne of grace and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Well, this mercy giving came at great cost to Jesus. Jesus chose out of obedience to God to become human, and he experienced our sorrows so that his mission of mercy to help us would be perfect and complete. He suffered and was tempted so that he would be perfectly equipped to comfort us and to counsel us and help us in all of our trials and temptations. So what in this beatitude is being asked of us? Blessed are those who show mercy. Those who show mercy. There's definitely an action component to this beatitude. And if Jesus is our example, this mercy giving is bound to come at some kind of cost to us. There is the challenge in this beatitude. Jesus is calling us to a lifestyle of mercy giving, which often goes against our very human nature to want to watch out for our own best interests before we tend to the interests of others. We all know that it is much easier to ask God for mercy than it is to show mercy to someone else. The parable of the Good Samaritan always reminds me of that fact. And if I'm honest, it's still easy to read that parable, that very familiar story, and to think, well, it doesn't totally apply to me. I mean, at least I would have called 911 on my cell phone as I drove by the scene on my way to work, and you would have too, right? But this time through that familiar story, I was listening with a different set of ears and with a different focus, the focus on that beatitude. And as I was studying it, I was reminded, not that I should ever forget this, but I was reminded that one of the main purposes of my ministry as a pastor to the Church of Jesus Christ and to you is to model and to teach and to equip the saints, that's you, in showing how to show mercy, to equip you in the art of showing mercy. Believe me, I was humbled when I received that epiphany, because I know how far I fall short on that calling on any given day. But the good news is that God has promised to help all of us. In fact, God sent Jesus into this world to do just that. And now it's up to us to make his example come to life through our relationships and our words and decisions and actions. In Henry Nouwen's book, The Search for Compassion, we are given a good example of what it means, of what it might look like to become a community who is known for showing mercy. Here's what he wrote. We all need people in our lives who will not be too quick to take our pain away, but will have the spiritual and mental toughness to walk with us, sharing in the journey to the point where woundedness can be confronted at its source. Shared woundedness becomes mobilizing. The sting is drawn because the secret is shared. And when the secret is shared, mercy can be given and mercy can be received. I believe that this beatitude calls us to be healing agents in people's lives, to restore people, and to build community, to be the body of Christ to one another and to the world. That's what it means as a Christian, to show mercy. And the issue for any congregation, according to an old ethics professor of mine, is whether the congregation really wills to be his body, suffering with Christ in the ghetto of human history. The church, as Dr. Smeeds used to say, is Jesus Christ bodily present, bodily committed to carrying on his work, and it is vulnerable, open to wounds, because it with him is still a part of this human ghetto. It feels a little funny to me to talk about the ghetto when we are sitting in a church on Mercer Island. But friends, when it comes to our neediness and our vulnerability as human beings, there are no islands of wealth or class or status that separate us from any other person in this world. We are all visited by the joys and trials and sorrows of life, and we are all equally needful of the grace and the mercy that was so freely given to us by God through Jesus Christ. And so, as Eric Colbell suggests in that book that we've asked you to consider reading during this series on the Beatitudes, when I think of any struggling person in any difficult situation or circumstance of life, I think of the beaten man whom the Samaritan rescued. And I would ask myself the question, am I more likely to respond like the priest and the Levite, or like the Samaritan? And I would add, and would it depend on my own judgment of whether they deserved mercy or on God's promise in Christ to show mercy to all people? I have to share with you something a little bit humorous that happened as I was preaching this sermon. Right at this point in the sermon during the breakfast service this morning, my husband Steve's cell phone rang. It's got the loudest ring you've ever heard. Well, he ran out of the congregation, and he was so embarrassed. And after the service, I received several comments, and I guess he did too. I wonder if Sherry's going to show any mercy to him when she gets home. And it got me to thinking, maybe another epiphany came to me. You know, I think that sometimes it is the hardest thing to show mercy to those people who are closest to us, to those people in our inner circle of family and friends. But I had this image. Imagine if we were freed up to be mercy givers freely to those people. Think of the ripple effects. It's going to make it all the more easy to be just part of who we are. And it will spill out into our communities at work and throughout our community in the world. Well, Colbell goes on to write about the rescued man's response to the Samaritan's mercy. I'd like to believe the kindness that was extended to him was not lost on him, that he was forever changed by it, and that hereafter he would walk the roads of his life vigilant not only to the dangers that threatened him, but to the souls who saved him and to the victims who needed him, and that he would be so filled with mercy that he would even forgive those who passed him by. If these things happened, he would have fulfilled that beatitude. Blessed are those who show mercy, for they shall receive mercy. By teaching us that the merciful will receive mercy, Jesus is saying, as Elizabeth shared with us in her minute for mission, that mercy at heart is a reciprocal action, a relationship of give and take, of generosity and gratitude, each rooted in the other. And blessed mercy is a sign of the beloved community alive and well, a glimpse of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. May God make this kind of mercy giving and mercy receiving a reality in our families and our relationships, our interactions at work and at school, and in our life together here as the body of Christ, here, that mercy might be alive and well at Mercer Island Presbyterian Church. Let us pray. Merciful and loving God, mold us into your beloved community. Make us people who seek justice, who love mercy, and who walk humbly with you on this journey of life and faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand as we sing together.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup it overflows with love, peace, and joy. With love, peace.
Remember next Sunday, one service only, 10 o'clock. We're going to combine all the different styles of the three services. Haley's going to be there with the music team, so be here at 10 a.m. Sunday morning. And then also, remember, there are popsicles out there, so that's something to look forward to. I want to just borrow one of the lyrics of one of the songs that we sang tonight. May the mercy of God be the theme of our song. May the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and friendship of the Holy Spirit embrace us this night and remain with us forevermore. Amen.